I don't know what we'd do without the Lord, do you? I just couldn't make it without the Lord. We talk about all the problems of life, we're sitting here watching our nation crumble. Fact of the matter is, it's crumbling. But God's still on the throne.
Yes, sir.
He still has all power.
Yes, sir.
The heart of the king is in his hand, and he can push him around like a pawn when he gets ready to. He loves us, and he's looking out for us, and he's protecting us, so we ought not grumble. We ought just be happy in him. Amen. Well, it's good to be in the Lord's house. Seems like we're struggling there a little bit this morning, but amen, Missy. Seemed like we're struggling a little bit, but I'm glad just to feel the presence of the Lord starting to stir in my heart. God is great. How great thou art. You're raising up the microphones. It's not okay. Let's get this on for Brother Mike. Now then, are we on, brother? Yeah, amen. You know, I'm just glad he forgives us when we sin, aren't you? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And here's what we do sometimes. We ask God to forgive us, and he'll forgive us, but we won't forgive ourselves. He said if we ask him, if we from our heart confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. My, isn't that good? If we're not right, we can get right. Isn't it good? What a good God. He could have just put us out there and said, well, if you drop the ball, it's over. You mess up, then you're just cooked. That's just how it is. But he made a way when we get wrong, we can get right. I say praise his sweet name for that. Praise his name. Well, I want to read to you in Luke chapter 23 and verse 39 this morning. Very familiar passage. I found out that as you go along, there's some text you preach more than you do others. John 3 is a text that's preached a lot. The prodigal sons preached a lot. And you can just pick out some text. And I found in my life, I come to this thief a lot. I preach on this thief a lot. Or not a lot, but some more than I do other texts. And I want to read this to you. I know you've heard it multitude of times. Let me read it to you one more time. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly. For we receive the due rewards of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Our dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this morning. I glorify your name. I glorify you for being the God that you are, a God of love and mercy, a God of long-suffering, a God of grace. And Lord, I ask you to help me. Now you know I'm the most pitiful excuse of a preacher there is. And you know my sufficiency is only in you. You know the only ability I have is you preaching through me. Please help me. Otherwise, I'll be a total failure, and I really don't even deserve you to help me, Lord. But for your people's sake, would you please help me to unload your message and unload it the way you want it unloaded? And Father, would you just bless? Would you just bless each one that's here and open the hearts to receive and help me to preach in the right manner, the right spirit, and just do the work that needs doing in our midst. And if there's anything that would hinder, I ask you to hold it back for just a little bit. And we'll praise you for all you do. We love you, Lord. And again, let me just say we need your presence. Help us now. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, before we get started, I want to go to Matthew chapter. Hold your place there. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, and then I want to look at verse 41. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of the Jews, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God." Now notice this verse. "The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth." Now the thieves is plural there. That's two thieves. That's both of them. And they're casting the same in his casting the same in his teeth. They're saying the same things to him. And here's what they're saying. "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildeth it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Verse 42, they were saying this. "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God." And then it goes on and said, "The thieves cast the same in his teeth." They were saying the same things. Mark chapter 15, verse 32. We see the same truth. "Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Now here's what they're saying, and here's how Mark gives it. "Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe, and they that were crucified with him reviled him." Both thieves are reviling Jesus. Both thieves are saying, "Hey, if you're who you say you are, come down from the cross. Save yourself. Prove yourself. Let us see and we will believe." That's what they're saying. All right, now let's come over to our text in Luke chapter number 23 and verse 39. I want to preach to you a message that I've titled, preached out, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 10. I preached a message using this title, but I'm going to use the same title with a little different twist to it. And here's the title or the thought I want us to kind of keep in our mind. It's okay to change your mind. It's okay to change your mind. Now, many times, and you've seen people like this, and I have too, they're just stubborn, And they're almost proud of the fact that they're not going to change their mind, even if they're wrong. They're not going to change their mind. Isn't that right? Do you ever run into somebody like that? It don't matter if you can show them in black and white, if you can show them out of the Word of God, as plain as the nose on your face, they're not going to change their mind, and it doesn't matter what you say, but I want to say it's okay for you to change your mind. So let's settle in. So many, I come from a family of stubborn people, and they took pride in their stubbornness. I've even heard some say, well, I'm stubborn like my, and they would mention one of my relatives, like my whoever it was, and I don't want to identify in it, my family, but they were proud, they were stubborn and rebellious people. They took pride in that. And I've thought about that so much, this inability to change our minds. And we probably could say a lot about it, and I'm going to say a few things about it. It's as if it's a weakness to change your mind. It's as if with most people, if I change my mind, I'm weak. I'm unstable, I guess is the way to say it. Or maybe it's the fact that you have to admit, well, I've been wrong. But I want to say again, it's okay to change your mind. That is, if you change it in the right way. If you line it up with the Word of God. In fact, sometimes it's extremely important to change your mind. To choose a new path or a new route or a new location or a new job or new friends. Now we know, let me say again, it's not always right to change your mind. Sometimes we change our minds to our own personal hurt. Our own personal destruction. Sometimes we change our minds contrary to the Word of God. And that's not okay. But can I tell you, when God speaks to you and deals with you, it's okay to change your mind. And we might talk about what causes folks to change their mind. Sometimes the consequences of one's way of thinking will change their mind. That may have had something to do with the thief here. He had chosen the path of crime and had been caught, and the consequences of his mentality may have had something to do with him changing his mind. Not completely, we know, but it could have been a factor. Sometimes we get additional understanding. We get more of the facts. We're given more knowledge, and that helps us change our mind. Sometimes circumstances will help us change our mind. Thought about Paul as they launched, the south wind blew softly, and they set their head to sail to Rome, but somewhere along the way they changed their mind and they decided to winter somewhere, and the circumstances they were in caused them to change their mind. And they did the right thing in my opinion. Sometimes just viewing things from a different perspective can cause us to change our mind. Sometimes maturity will cause you to change your mind. You just grow up some, and that mature perspective causes you to change your mind. And then sometimes the Holy Spirit moves on our heart. We could probably just go through 15 or 20 causes when it comes to changing your mind. But in our text, here's what we see. We see two men. One chose to change his mind, the other didn't. And can I tell you, it had eternal consequences. One was deriding, one was casting the same in his teeth, but he changed his mind. And I want to say it's okay, sinner, if you're out there, it's okay to change your mind. Saint, if you're playing with God, you're just pretending, you're just going through the motions, your heart's not, it's okay to change your mind and draw nigh to God. The one that changed his mind went to paradise, and the one that refused to change his mind went to hell. And a thought about that, no doubt there's many in hell who could have changed their minds. Would they have? But they chose not to. Sinner, you may not think much about the church. You may not even think much about the preacher or any preacher. You may not think much about the work of God. You may not even think much about hell or heaven. I want to tell you, it's okay to change your mind. I want you to just, I keep saying that phrase because I want it to get embedded in your thinking. And I want to look at this man. I've just got a little short message, I think, this morning. But I want to look at this man who changed his mind. And I want to look at, first of all, some challenges he had to overcome. We have a flesh to deal with, and our flesh does not want to change its mind. And there's some challenges, especially when you change your mind in a godly manner, or toward God, or for God, or whatever word I need to use, there'll be some challenges that you have to overcome. And I've already mentioned one or two of them, but let me mention them again. Number one, if you're going to change your mind, you're going to have to admit that your thinking has been wrong. That's right. It ain't the preacher telling you it's wrong. It's not one of the deacons telling you it's wrong, or your parish telling you it's wrong, or whoever it is. But if you change your mind, you have to say, hey, I've not been thinking right. That's hard on your pride. That's hard on our pride. Is that not right? It's hard to say, hey, I've just not been thinking right. But it's okay to change your mind. And then I want you to notice with this thief, he was down near the end of life. Why does he need to change his mind? He don't have 6 or 7 or 8 more hours, whatever it was, to live. He's not going to live another 24 hours. What's the big deal? He's done lived his whole life. He doesn't have any more time, just a few hours. Why change his mind? I hear folks say that all the time. Well, it's how I've believed all my life, and that's just how I'm going to die. Well, if it's wrong, it's okay to change your mind. And I don't care if you're 90 years old or 80 years old or 110 years old, it's okay to change your mind. So many times we feel like just because that's how we've always believed, we have to stay with that. But I'm telling you, if God and the Holy Spirit shows you different, it's okay to change your mind. And then we see the hopelessness of the situation. The hopelessness of the situation. He's going to die. It's a fact. Death is at his door. He has no hope, and there's no way he can get any hope. Why change your mind? Well, he did get hope against hope. He was given hope by changing his mind. But really, the Roman army was killing him. Nobody any powerful in the Roman government. And really, nobody can help him as far as man looking on at the situation. It's hopeless. But can I tell you, with the Lord, nothing's hopeless. We get in a hopeless situation. We don't even try to think. We don't try to turn to God. We don't try. We just say, well, it's just hopeless. And we just have to ride it out. Well, that may be so, and it may not be so. And really, the circumstances, and these are, I guess it's tied with this hopelessness, but really, the circumstances indicated he should not change his mind. I mean, here he is going to change his mind about Jesus being the Christ. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus is hanging on that cross, and it looks like Jesus is losing. That's what it looks like to a man just looking on. It just looks like Jesus was defeated by his enemies. Why change your mind and say he's the Christ? I mean, it's obvious he's not saving himself. He's physically dying. Circumstances says, don't change your mind. He had to get past that. He had to get past popular opinion. Popular opinion said, crucify him. He deserves to die. That's what the popular opinion said. And my, you're going to change your mind for God, you're going to have to get past the popular opinion of our day. In fact, some of you are going to have to get past what mom and daddy believe. Papa and mama. Sacred ground right there, is it not? It's not our tradition as sacred to us as the Pharisees was to theirs. Are we not so proud of our heritage that we many times won't have the truth because mama and papa didn't believe the truth? There's something like that. I was talking to one of my relatives once, and he's all millennial. I reckon that's what he is. Said he's post-millennial, but I don't think he knows really what he's talking about. Surely don't believe this world's going to get better and better the way it's going. I really believe he's all millennial from the way he talked. And he said this is the way I've been taught. It's the way I've been taught, and it's the way I'm going. I'm not changing. He was talking about a fellow trying to change. He's not going to change me. Even if he has the truth, he's not going to change it. What I was thinking. He's holding on to the tradition of his fathers and his forefathers. And my, here's what I'm trying to say to you today. If you change your mind, you're going to be challenged. It's not easy to change your mind. I could give you some personal experiences. We've got some folk who passed through our church some time back. They wouldn't have missions. It's black and white in the Word of God. They wouldn't have it. These folks that won't have sin preaching. It's legalism. Don't even know what legalism is. My, there's just challenges to changing our minds is what I'm trying to say. And so this fella had some challenges. He had to admit he'd been thinking wrong. He had to get past his life was over. It doesn't matter. He changed his mind anyway, even though he had just a few hours. I'd like to preach on redeeming the time using him one of these days. But he had to get past that, and he had to get past the hopelessness of the situation and the popular opinion and the indication of the circumstances. But then too, I want to look at the challenges, but I want to look at some of the characters and the concepts he changed his mind about. What did he change his mind about? What do you need to change your mind about? What do I need to change my mind about? Well, the first thing he changed his mind about was his friend. That's right. Here's his partner in crime, we could say that. They had committed crime together. They'd been in jail together. Maybe they thought alike. Maybe they grew up in the same neighborhood. I don't know. They had both railed and derided on Jesus. They had went after Jesus together, but not anymore. He changed his mind about his friendship. And I want to say it's okay to change your mind about ungodly friends. That's right. You say we've been friends a long time, life's just about over. It's okay to change your mind about ungodly companions. You know what he did? He decided his friend was wrong. He was casting derision in the face of Jesus, in his teeth, the Bible says, and deriding Jesus. And he was going along with his friend, but he changed his mind and said, "That ain't right." He decided his friend was wrong and he's going a different route. I want to say to you young folk, you're going to encounter ungodly companions down life's way, and sometimes you may know it, and sometimes, most of the time, you won't know it till you get to know them a little bit. And it's okay to change your mind about ungodly friends in your life. You better listen to this preacher. God, put this on me this week. I know it's of God. It's okay to change your mind about who you run with. Oh my. He decides his friend is wrong. And here's what he decides. I'm not going to do what he's doing. I'm not doing it. That's what he's doing. But I'm not going to do it. We've been, maybe it's thinking like this. Yeah, but y'all been friends a long time. Maybe it's going through his head. I mean, y'all went to school together. I don't know. I don't even know if they even had school back then. But y'all just, you've known each other. My, look what all you've been through. You know what he said? He's wrong. And I'm not going with him. I'm not doing what he's going to do. He's wrong. In the last few hours of his life, he changed his mind. He's not going to be influenced by him any longer. You go ahead and do that if you want to, but I'm not doing it. I'm not throwing off on Jesus. You go ahead, but I'm not doing it. I see things differently now. He doesn't have to listen to his friend. And he's not going to. He's his own man, if I can say it that way. He's not going to tell him what to do. He's not going to talk like him. He's not going to act like him. Or he's not going to follow his lead. And let me just say it again. I know I'm just driving these little truths home over and over. It's okay to change your mind about the wrong kind of friends. It's okay. Can I tell you what would have happened? I'd like to go over there to Jonadab. Amnon and Jonadab, I believe it is, but I don't need to go there. I ain't got time really. But you know what his friend would have done if he'd have kept following his friend? He'd have led him straight to hell. Straight to hell. Sinner, if you're here today, let me say this. You better be careful who you friend up with. They're liable to just lead you straight to hell. Straight to the regions of the damned. His friend would have taken him to hell. But this man changed his mind. Let me say it again. It's okay to change your mind about your friends. But then I want you to notice too, he changed his mind about the fear of God. Verse 40, "But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" And my, we could talk about the fear of God for a long time. You know what I really think the problem in our land is today? We really don't fear God like we ought to. You know our nation's going down. I don't know when it's going to crash. Nobody's afraid of God. I mean, we're murdering little innocent babies. Nobody fears God. We're putting our sanction on same-sex marriages and the sin of sodomy. Why is it nobody fears God? I'm telling you, you better fear God this morning. He's able to cast your soul in hell. And we ought to fear him today. Amen. There's no fear of God. Parents raise their kids just any way in the world. Bring them in the church, act like the preacher's foolish. Preach on sin. Just raise them every way in the world. You know what? They have no fear of God. They can go over there in Proverbs and talk about sparing the rod. If you love your children, you won't spare the rod. They'll mock that. Well, preacher, you're just some kind of fanatic. You're some kind of, and I don't, you know, and then there's that crowd that get out there and say, well, we don't believe in child abuse. Who does believe in child abuse? Nobody does. But God said children need to be punished from time to time. Discipline from time to time be the right word. You know why parents don't do it? Don't fear God. These children never had one spanking. You might as well take Proverbs and throw it in the garbage. Don't even fear God. Not afraid of God. I'd be afraid, parents, in this world we live in, I'd be afraid not to try to raise my children according to the Word of God as best I could. I'd be afraid to. You love your children, you better listen to what I'm saying this morning. I was going to read just a few verses to you. If I can find them, I believe it's 2nd. Let me look real quick at these. Why, by the way, what was it? What moved Noah to build an ark? Fear is a suitable motivation for God's people to do right. I've got all these scriptures, and I've not. Proverbs 9 and 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know why? We know nothing about God. We don't fear Him enough to try to find out what He said. That's so. It's Matthew 10:28 says, and fear not them which kill the body but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Folks, here's what I'm telling you. He changed his mind. He feared God. He changed his mind about his future. He changed his mind about his future. I just thought, what would cause a man to go to a life of crime? We say crime doesn't pay. I seen something one time somewhere says crime does pay. He gave all the statistics of the criminals that never got caught and how much money they'd stolen or whatever it was. And their little play on words was crime pays. Well, I want to tell you, sin don't pay. Let me just say it that way. Sin don't pay. I don't know what made him start down the road of condemnation. He said, don't you fear God? Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? All of a sudden, he realized he is condemned. Condemnation awaited his life. He realized that. Oh my. All of a sudden, he's aware that down the road, condemnation and the judgment of God waits on him. We live in a silly world, children and young folk. They're silly. Everything's a joke. I've thought about, and Brother Ronnie was telling me this, and I already knew some of it. People don't even want to take death serious. You know what we do when we have a funeral now? You know what they call it? We're celebrating life. They died. The reality, they're in eternity in heaven or hell, and we're celebrating their life. And I'm not against that to some degree, but if that's all it is, we missed it. They don't want to think about judgment, condemnation, facing God, anything to get that out of your mind, out of sight. Just get rid of that. No, they don't want that. It's all about just happy things. But St. John chapter 3 and verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. You don't believe in Jesus, you're condemned. The wrath of God, in verse 36, the wrath of God abideth on you, friend, if you don't believe in Jesus. Well, he's a God of love. He's a God of wrath also. He hates sin. He has to deal with sin. Sure, he loves the soul, but he hates sin. My, if you don't believe in Jesus, God's wrath abides on you. You're condemned. You're guilty. Oh my. He changed his mind. Instead of just being carefree and breaking the law and doing what he wanted to do, all of a sudden now he realizes life's not about you just do what you want to do. Make a big joke out of everything and explain it away. I'm amazed at how we explain things away. Well, I'm just kind of strange. I just don't think like that. I'll tell you what, if you don't think like the Word of God, your thinking's messed up, friend. Just messed up. The Word of God's right. Well, I didn't get many amens, but that's right. I'm telling you that's right this morning. I'm stirred in my soul about that. Better line ye thinking up by the Word of God. Amen. Therefore, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Condemnation. You're out here playing around and acting a part, acting like you're saved, you're lost, and being a sinner and playing the hypocrite. Can I just tell you? The condemnation, the wrath, the judgment of God rest upon your life. It's horrible to have to say something like that. But I'm glad there's an escape route. You see, he changed his mind. He's living a carefree life. He wasn't obeying no laws. Nobody's going to tell him what to do. But all of a sudden, he changed his mind and said, hey, we're condemned. Don't you fear God? We're condemned. You say, well, he's talking about the other fellow. Go down to the next verse. Notice what he says down there in the next verse. And we indeed justly. He realized he is under the condemnation of God. It wasn't carefree. It wasn't no rules. It wasn't it's okay if you don't get caught. No, he realized there's a God in heaven going to judge him one day. Oh my, it's okay to change your mind about the condemnation of God. Then he changed his mind about the for the sake of alliteration, I'm going to say about the Father's Son. About the Father, about Jesus. Changed his mind about Jesus. You know at first he was deriding, saying, hey, if you're the Son of God, cast yourself down, save yourself. Let us see you save yourself. We'll believe. But he doesn't do that anymore. I want you to notice what he says here about Jesus. First of all, he realized he is an innocent man. But this man hath done nothing amiss. You know what he said about Jesus? He's holy and harmless and undefiled and separate from sinners. He's saying, hey, he's becoming sin who knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God. That's what he's saying. He's looking at Jesus and saying, hey, that's a man I find no fault in him. He was saying, if you're the Christ, you come down, prove yourself. No more. Oh no, he sees him differently now. I want you to notice what else he sees. First he sees him. He sees him as the innocent one. He sees him one that's done nothing amiss. He sees him as one that's unworthy of death. Can you see? He saw holy Jesus. He saw holy Jesus. I'm reminded of them old seraphims. We talk about God. His grace and His mercy and His love and all them things. But over in Isaiah 6, they was looking on Him. And all they could say was this, holy, holy, holy. Well, Jesus is the fullness of God, isn't He? Sure He is. You know what that old thief saw when he looked at Jesus? He saw the Holy One. Done nothing amiss. What else did he see? Not only that, but he saw his Lord. We don't talk about lordship much, but he saw Jesus as Lord. Old Paul on the road to Damascus, Lord saved him. You know the first thing he said? Lord, what will you have me to do? I'm putting it in our language, but he called him Lord. What would you have me to do? Do you know if you get saved, you've got a Lord. You've got one that's going to guide and tell you what to do. He wants control of your life. That sinner just wants a get out of hell free card and don't want a Lord. He can't be saved. Amen. I'm telling you right. You have to submit to Jesus as Lord and Savior. You're going to be saved. That's right. I'll never forget Bill Snodley says, witnessing to a fellow and he's drinking a beer. He's telling him, gave him the plan of salvation. He says, sure, sign me up. I want to go to heaven. Well, he said, why don't you lay that? Oh, no, I'm not laying my beer down. I'm not changing anything, but just sign me up. I don't want to go to hell. He wanted a Savior, but he didn't want a Lord over his life. That's right. That's the problem. He looked over at him, verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, Lord. Sinner, you need a Lord over your life. Some of you saints need to submit to His Lord. He is the Lord. We know that. But you need to make it experimentally a reality in your life. Let Him be Lord. Here's an old fellow that's dying. And he said, Lord. And I like what he said next. Here's what we'd say. Y'all said, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. I've done this, this, and this. And nothing wrong with that. I'm not against that. But here's all this fella said. Remember me. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You say, that ain't a sinner's prayer. I won't get it done. It did that day. Well, I say, glory to God. What did he say when he said, what was he saying? He is saying, don't forget me when you set up your kingdom. The Lord said, I'll do you one better than that today. You'll be with me in paradise. Hey, I'll not wait till the kingdom's set up. I'll just meet you in paradise in a little while. Well, I say glory to God. He always gives us more than we ask for. Hey, I'd heard all about Jesus, but they didn't tell me all about Him, Brother Allen. My, He's so much more than what I ever heard about. The half had never been told me. Oh, hallelujah. What a Savior we have. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
He changed his mind about Jesus. He saw Him as the Holy One. He saw Him as the Lord. And he saw Him as Savior. He's only one can save you from hell. Only one. It's not Mohammed. Not Confucius. Not, I don't even know them all. It's only one person can save you from hell. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. Hallelujah. One day He passed by my way. And we've been kind of focusing on this word. He passed by my way and rescued me out of a devil's hell. Saved my soul. Well, glory. He changed his mind about Him as Lord and about Him as Savior. And he changed his mind and acknowledged Him as King. is King. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I don't know how to be in the millennium. I don't know if there'll be newscast. I don't know how all that's going to work. We'll have electronics, but if we do, in the millennium, they'll not be talking about Obama. They won't be talking about the Prime Minister of Israel. They won't be talking about the Queen of England. You know who's going to be in charge then? King Jesus. Hallelujah. 1,000 glorious years. The desert's going to bloom like a rose. Well, hallelujah, the Lamb and the Lion's going to lay down together. Well, glory to God. The little child will play on the snake hole. I'm telling you, King Jesus will be in charge. Well, glory to God. Glory to God. We won't have to worry about health care. We'll all be healthy. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, he saw a king, a Lord, a Savior, and a king. He changed his mind about Jesus, about the Father's Son. And then we could look at the consequences. Already said, his decision kept him out of hell. It kept him out of hell. My, you can look in this sinner's life, you can see conviction and repentance. Isn't that what repentance is? A change of mind that results in a change of actions. Isn't that what he done? He changed his mind about himself, about his sin, about Jesus, and he quit railing on him. It changed his actions. Isn't that the beautiful picture of repentance there? You know what Mark says? Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That's verse 14, I believe. Jump down to verse 16. He says the same thing again. Why does God have to say it again? The only reason God repeats himself is to place emphasis on it. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. It's essential that you repent this morning. You're going to heaven. What is repentance? Change of mind about yourself and about sin and about the Savior. And that's what this old thief did. There on the cross, 8 hours to live or 4 hours to live or whatever it was to live, just a few hours, and God saved his unworthy soul. Oh my, my. We see it all: conviction, repentance, faith, lordship, hope, mercy, grace. We see it all there in this little story. Long-suffering, answered prayer. I want to ask you this morning, how is it with you? Are you here and you're lost? I'm going to tell you, when God speaks to you, y'all change your mind, go God's way. That's right. Are you here as a believer and really just not living right? You know you're not right. Won't you change your mind? Won't you change your mind and get right today? Oh my, won't you change your mind? It's okay. Change your mind. It's okay. You say, preacher, there's a battle raging. I want to, but I don't want to. That's the devil and the flesh fighting against you. Let me tell you what happened to me the night I got saved. I told it 1,000 times. But let me tell you again. I said, I believe I'm going to go and be saved. I'm going to go up there and ask God to save me. That's what I was thinking. And something said, no, don't do it. Two rows of young people on this side of the building, right where Brent, Jessica, and Billy's at. Those two are all young people. And the devil said, they'll laugh at you. They'll laugh at you. Don't go up there. He didn't want me getting saved. He didn't want me getting right. And then I looked around. He said, there's too many people here. Just wait till there's not as many people. You know what he's trying to do is get me to put it off. And put it off. And he knew if I'd just wait too long, that I'd end up hell. If I just wouldn't change my mind. In some way, the Spirit of God just kept dealing with me. And I finally said this, I'm going to go. And I'm going to see if He'll save me. And can I tell you, I didn't know nothing. I didn't know how to pray, really. Didn't know what to pray. I just knew I was a sinner going to hell. And I knew I didn't want to go to hell. I knew I didn't want to go to that awful place. I knew this much. If I got there, I'd never get out. And I knew my mom and daddy wasn't going. And I knew it's a horrible place. And I didn't want to go. And I knew Jesus was the Savior. And I just said, God, save me. God, save me. And He did. That night changed my life forever. And He's no respecter of person. What He did for me, He'll do for you this morning. Oh God, I've had to go to that altar numerous times since. I'd get cold on God. Not what I ought to be. I'd just have to fall on the altar and say, oh God, help me. Oh God, save me from this ungodly attitude of God. Oh God, I just ask You to restore my fellowship. I want to ask You, has God spoken to you today? It's okay to change your mind. I know it's hard according to the flesh. But if we're to have victory, as God wants us to have spiritual victory in our life, we have to change our mind when God deals with us. Brother Allen, come. I'm going to ask you to bow your head this morning.